Our guest today is John Kriesel. John is the author of the book, Still Standing, The Story of Sergeant John Kriesel. John is a National Guard military veteran who served in Iraq with our U.S. forces. It was during his tour of duty that his Humvee was hit by a roadside bomb. The 200-pound bomb destroyed the vehicle, killing two comrades, resulting in the loss of both of John's legs. He has now survived 35 surgeries, four hospitals, and months of rehabilitation. He was never expected to survive, but instead has survived and thrived, being described by some as a beacon of positive thinking, speaking to groups such as students, veterans, Rotarians, church groups, and others. John has also moved forward in his life to accomplish winning a legislative seat within the Minnesota House of Representatives. He's also a very frequent guest on talk radio programs as well. He is currently director of the Veteran Services for Anoka County, Minnesota, and taking much of what he's learned and applying it to the daily administration and helps to veterans within that county as well. And John and his wife, Katie, have two sons, Elijah and Brody, and they currently live in Cottage Grove, Minnesota. John, it's an absolute pleasure having you with us today on Directional Motivation.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. John, I just thought we'd start out and just maybe give just a quick overview of maybe your experiences and, you know, observations that you've had coming out of those experiences as we talk about maybe overcoming things and sharing with our listeners some of your thoughts about overcoming obstacles, things like that.
Sure. Well, I served, like you said, in the Minnesota National Guard for 10 years. I served on a deployment to Kosovo in 2004 and then to Iraq in 2006. And so when people ask me to sum up those times, you know, my time in the military, I sum it up as almost 10 years of really good times and one really bad day. And that really bad day was December 2nd of 2006 when the vehicle we're in hit the 200-pound improvised explosive device. And I consider it fortunate enough to be conscious for the majority of that. I remember hearing the sound of the this metallic clank of the IED going off. And I was knocked out once it exploded, and I don't remember flying through the air or hitting the ground, but I remember waking up on the ground and seeing that vehicle, what had been a fully up-armored Humvee on its side, facing the wrong direction, completely destroyed. You know, one of the most vivid memories I have is when I was opening, you know, before I opened my eyes, I heard rocks falling down like a hailstorm, and, you know, the yelling and screaming of my comrades. And, you know, at that point, I didn't want to believe what had happened, but I've been a Vikings fan my whole life, so I'm used to the worst-case scenario. And so that's when, you know, I opened my eyes. I saw my legs mangled. We didn't have a medic with us. I saw the loss of blood I had. And, you know, I was quite sure that my life was going to end there that day. But thankfully, my friends in the vehicle ahead of us turned around and came to our aid, saved my life. And, you know, that day has changed how I look at life, how I look at things. You know, there isn't a day that goes by I don't think about that event and that incident, and really appreciate the life that I have.
Mm-hmm. We've certainly taken and moved forward in your life from that stage. You know, as a message to our listeners, what internally, I guess, what has driven you the way it has, you know, what's given you the inspiration, that type of thing?
Well, you know, being that close to death, to dying, and even once I was airlifted to the first field hospital in Iraq, they had to shock me back to life three times. And, you know, I didn't learn that until Jim Cosmo and I were writing the book, Still Standing. And during that time, you know, that, again, that woke me up during the process of writing that book. And, you know, I think the biggest thing out of this is, you know, I've learned, you know, many things, but the biggest lessons I've learned are that, you know, I really don't feel that I would have been able to appreciate life the way that I do now until I realized the hard way that life does end. It's the certain thing that's going to happen. And that when you realize how short life is, every minute of every day is crucial and so important, and just we're so blessed to live in the United States. And so, you know, that and the fact that, you know, this, what happened to me isn't going to happen to 99.99999% of Americans or people in the world for that matter, but bad things happen to all of us. And it really doesn't matter how big or how small those bad things are that happen to us. It's the positive attitude we bring to the table that will help us overcome that, determine who we are and build that character. And so, you know, with a positive attitude and a sense of humor, really, the ability to laugh at myself and the ability to laugh at yourself, and that's so important in life and getting through adversity and just making you a better person.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting when you mentioned, really, when you look at life, and I've had the conversation with you a little bit prior to our conversation here even today, but the proactive versus reactive approach. Can you go into that a little bit as well?
Yeah, I mean, before all of this happened, I did have a sense of humor. I was a class clown growing up. I goofed off a lot in high school. It's not something I'm really proud of. It's just kind of the way I was when I was younger. You know, I had to do a lot of my schoolwork in the hallway because I'd be disruptive in the class. Nothing criminal or anything, but I goofed off. I thought it was funny. The teachers didn't think it was funny, so
you know, they knew your name, did they?
Yes, they very well. They still do. The military obviously changes you. It teaches you how to be an adult, how to be a man, how to handle your responsibility, and not just a man, but an adult for that matter, for the females that are listening as well. But you know, I'm still have that mentality, that sense of humor. I just don't use it at the inappropriate time. And so I always had that, and I think that was a big part of how I was able to get through what I did, is being able to look at it and just say, you know, I'm just so lucky to have made it through, you know. And it would be horrible to not mention the fact that I have a wonderful wife and kids that really did help me get through that. The community was very supportive when this happened, and so I mean, I have been very blessed. But when there's been opportunities that I've had since then, I've made sure to seize those, because you never know when you're going to get other opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and one of the things with directional motivation, and the reason we have having you as a guest is one of the purposes of directional motivation is to help people in their lives at whatever stage they are to rise up. And a lot of our focus is driven towards the military veteran community. And in terms of a lot of focus is given towards the transitioning military veteran coming back and facing a really difficult employment climate. What advice can you give to those individuals that are making that transition or maybe looking to coming up on their terminal date, that type of thing, or in the throes of a job search and maybe getting discouraged, that type of thing? What are some thoughts that you might be able to give to them as they're approaching this part of their life?
There's always going to be bumps in the road, and veterans, people that have served in the military, understand that more than most people, I would say. And so as you're approaching your terminal date, as you decide what your next step is, you got to set goals. I mean, if you don't have a place that you're walking to, you're just wandering. And so it's important to decide, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? And, you know, I kind of had that when I was getting out of the hospital. I realized, you know, I was so caught up in trying to be so positive that there came a point where I was like, oh, crap, what am I going to do now? You know, I talked about, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to succeed. I was telling myself that, and I kept that in my mind. And then came that moment of, okay, well, now I need to act on the things that I've talked about. I need to actually do it. And I was luckily able to find a good fit and work as a civilian for the National Guard, doing some marketing. And it was a good transition for me, working with the military and also being a civilian. It was a good first step in a transition out. Not everybody's going to be able to find that situation that I was fortunate to be in the right place at the right time for. And so the biggest thing people need to do when they find out what they want to do, start acting on that plan. And there might be a point, I don't want to say give up on your dreams, there might come a point where you realize that either that type of job is not hiring, never will be hiring, or it's just not a good fit. I would love to be an NFL running back, but guess what? I'm not going to be able to. I don't have any legs.
And it'd be quite a show.
Yeah, it would be, yeah. So acting on that, trying to get towards that goal, and also keeping in mind that most civilians have no idea what the military does and or what you did in the military, and so you need to translate that, what you did every day in the military, translate that into a civilian skill set. What did you do as a squad leader, as a team leader, as a driver? Talk about not just the big overview of, as a driver, I made sure we drove from point A to point B safely. No, you had to make sure that the vehicle was fueled. You had to perform maintenance checks on the vehicle. You had to make sure all of the equipment was in the right place. You were in charge of millions of dollars of equipment. You know, you have to really explain it like that, all the way down to the finest detail. And so these employers know all of the responsibility that even that at 17, 18, 19 years old, these veterans had more responsibility and more on their hands than most adults in the United States have at any point. And so it's telling them that, not just saying, hey, I'm a veteran, you should hire me.
Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, in talking with various veterans and agencies around the country now, I'm finding a term that gets thrown around a little bit, and it's discouraging from some points because what the term is entitlement. And they said there's a tendency sometimes of military veterans, and we're not trying to beat up military veterans, but we're trying to help in the perception. And, you know, sometimes I always say perception is reality. You know,
yep.
It may not be your reality, but whoever has that perception about you, that is who you are to them. And so sending that right signal and that type of thing is very important. Can you talk a little bit about what we mean by entitlement mentality a little bit?
Right. I mean, we've really transitioned from the really unacceptable and despicable treatment of our returning veterans from the Vietnam War. I think that time in America's history is a really a scar on what has otherwise been a very patriotic, supportive nation and grateful nation. And now with the current conflicts and the post 9/11 conflicts, and even, you know, Gulf War, not to leave them out, the mentality we have now towards our veterans, the current conflicts, and now really trying to treat the previous conflicts, treat them with the respect they deserve. There is a very big support our troops, sort of an outreach. You see all the bumper stickers and the magnets, the yellow ribbon magnets, and everyone wants to support their troops. And I think it's easy to fall in the mindset of, you know, sort of, like you said, entitlement. And it's a tough word to use when you're talking about mm-hmm. veterans, because veterans have really given so much and mm-hmm. put it all on the line to the point that they could lose their life for their country. So mm-hmm. entitlement is really the only way to describe it, but it's a little bit different than other entitlements.
Right.
But coming back, like I had said, and sort of, you see these businesses that want to hire veterans, or businesses that, of course, they want to hire veterans, but you can't walk in that job interview and expect to get that job solely because you're a veteran. You need to mm-hmm. sell yourself to them. You need to talk about the skills you have. Talk about the things that you have done in your life, the qualifications you have that are going to make you a better hire than the next guy, whether it's a veteran or not. You need, it's like in a promotion board in the military, you go in there and you have to explain why you're the one that they need to select.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and that entitlement, going back on that, and it's not that we don't believe that veterans have earned it, not by any means, but to take and use that and say, well, you know, I deserve it, there's a fine line in that, too. And connecting with employers is very, very key to really project again that desire to really promote yourself and then the values that you bring and relate it to the current marketplace.
Well, yeah, and everyone that has served in the military has served with people that are not desirable, that are not good soldiers or not as good as they could be, not good soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, whatever branch it was. We've all had bad leadership. We've all had bad soldiers under us. We've had that. We've served right with those people. And so keeping that in mind, if you were an employer, would you just say, okay, this person's a veteran. That's the only thing I know about them. Am I going to hire them solely on that reason? Of course not. No, it will give them more credibility with you, of course, because that's what they have earned. Military veterans have earned to have that chance at that interview. Once you're in there, though, it's on you. You have to sell yourself.
That's a good point. Very good point. You know, when I do a lot of teaching in terms of interviewing, how to interview, that type of thing, and one of the things that I do with all people, but really been focusing on veterans as well, is to bring out what does make you different. And so just leading, you know, 50, 100 people, soldiers, that type of thing, but how did you do it? What are the things you implemented? How did you give them vision? How did you take and turn a difficult situation to a positive? How did you work with that soldier that was not excited about what the role that he was in, but show him how that little piece that he was doing was so important to the overall goal of the unit, whatever the case may be. And so what I always tell people is bring your heart, your passion, let them see you who you are on the inside. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, yeah. And even for the people who have not been in charge of you know, there's such a small portion that have been in charge of a battalion or a company or anything like that. And so it's also important to remind the driver, the mechanic. When I was in, you know, I've been everything from just, I was an infantryman while I was in the military. I served as a regular, you know, a machine gunner. I've served as a rifleman. I served as a Bradley fighting vehicle, mechanized infantry vehicle driver. I've served as a Hummer driver, a Humvee driver. So at that, there's nothing better as a leader, when I was a leader in Iraq of a fire team, to see someone that does have kind of that undesirable job of being a driver or being a gunner, and the passion they bring to that, and how important their job is. And not saying, okay, just because you're not a leader, you're not important. So those people that were not in leadership roles, bring that passion. Talk to the interview. Talk about why you loved your job, why you were good at your job. It doesn't matter if you weren't in charge of 50 men. You know what I mean? It's just that job that you did. Talk about why you were great at it, why you loved it, and how you're going to transfer that mentality, that experience, and that passion to your new job that you're trying to achieve.
When we talked a little bit about career vision, you know, that maybe you're not going to land the perfect job, that type of thing. And I think I want to go that way a little bit with you here, John, if we can. And one of the things when I'm talking with veterans is I talk about flexibility. You know, sometimes the exact position, that perfect position, isn't available for you at this time. But taking a look at what the company might provide in terms of foundation, and by that I mean training, development, that type of thing. Are they a growing company? Can you come in at a lesser level that maybe isn't what you want to do right now, but grow with the company, show them what you can do, and rise up? And, you know, I encourage people to be very, very flexible and adjust. And you look at your situation. If you didn't have flexibility, given what you faced and have encountered, you would have never been able to rise where you're at today. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the job I had while I was in the National Guard, my civilian job was I manufactured printing ink at a facility in Minneapolis. Certainly not a job that people wake up and one day and say, this is what I want to do when I grow up. But it was a good job. It was a good paying job. It was a hard job. I'd go home every day tired but satisfied that I worked my tail off that day. I certainly wouldn't, looking back on those times, if you told me where I'd be at today, I wouldn't have thought that. And so flexibility is important. Being well prepared and well trained and well rounded, so when an opportunity does pop up, some people call it luck. I've had people say, wow, you've been lucky to get the jobs you have since you got hurt or what. I don't call it luck. I call it being prepared and seizing opportunities as they arise, and that part of that is the flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Want to turn our conversation a little bit here. I want to talk to our veterans a little bit about some of the difficulties that they're going to encounter and some are encountering, and maybe how they can overcome some of this. And one of the groups, and we touched on that a little bit, is the 18 to 24-year-olds. I think the unemployment rate now, the last figure I saw, was about 39%. And what I'm in working with different agencies around the country now, we're hearing there is disillusionment because a lot of these individuals came out of high school, went into the military, maybe carried a rifle, maybe they ran the tank, that type of thing. And I just want you to maybe talk to them right now as far as, and I know that we addressed some of this in terms of what makes you stand out, but in terms of encouragement maybe that way. And I know another part of this is the suicide rate as well, and we're seeing individuals that are really depressed over the current situation, employment things, and what they're facing coming back and not making that, or having that struggle making that adjustment. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, when you get out of the military, there's that transition from, you work your tail off, but you're taken care of. You know what time you're supposed to wake up the next day, where to be, what to wear, what to bring, what time is lunch. The military life is very structured. And then when you're out of the military, it's completely on you. You need to structure your day. And it can be very tough. It's a tough adjustment, especially, you know, for the younger group. When my unit returned from Iraq in 2007, a lot of the guys weren't able to find work. They didn't know what they wanted to do. And so they'd start going to school, and then they're like, well, I don't know if this is what I want to do. There was sort of that, almost like being lost. They almost needed someone to tell them that, what to do. And you don't need that. That's where it's on you. It took a couple of years for them, but together we're fortunate to all live in the same area and sort of be able to encourage each other. Mm-hmm. But they're all doing better now, the ones that have had issues with mm-hmm. post-traumatic stress, anxiety, depression. They've got help. We've made sure that mm-hmm. they've gone to the VA to get that help. And it has made a huge difference because before, you know, the ones returning from deployments overseas and getting out of the military, before you are able to go out and get a job, you got to make sure that you take care of yourself first. Make sure your mind is right. Make sure mm-hmm. your body's right. Go get your VA benefits and get evaluated for post-traumatic stress. Get counseling if you need to. You got to get yourself right before you put yourself in a situation to succeed. The last thing you want to do is get into an opportunity and not be able to give it your all, because then mm-hmm. you're just treading water. You're not going to succeed. And so mm-hmm. to them, that's a big thing. You got to make sure that your mind is right and your body's right before you take these steps.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we're doing with Directional Motivation, too, is providing a number of resources. Our goal with regards to the military effort is to provide a one-stop shop type of setting. And you know, we continue to, I guess the site evolves as we continue on with our efforts here. But we have military chaplains that will have their contact information. We'll have videos about their commitment. One thing about military chaplains, and I don't know if you've found this to be the case, John, is that they have a vast amount of resources at their fingertips that are beyond the spiritual side. They have a number of agencies that they can refer individuals to and family members to that are going through this struggle. Many times we find that it's a family member that is making that first reach out for the individual as well, and so that's certainly encouraged too. But can you talk a little bit about the value of chaplains and also maybe the value of Directional Motivation, what you've seen with our site to this point and what we're trying to accomplish, the heart and the passion, I guess, behind it?
Well, it's important that veterans do utilize the resources that are on directionalmotivation.com and what you guys do for veterans, because anything you can do to make yourself more qualified or in a better situation to succeed. You have to do. You'd be crazy not to take those steps. And your website is a huge resource and will continue to grow as you talk to more people and network more. So I'd encourage any veteran to be able to go onto that website and check it out and see what's there to help them out. And with chaplains, they've been a huge help in my life. When I was in the hospital, my chaplain was Derek Gooding, and he was such a huge influence in my life at that point. He had served in combat. He was a guy I felt like I could talk to, and he would understand me. I could talk about terrible things I've seen or done and know that he's not going to judge me. He's going to help me heal mentally as well as physically. You know, I had my physical wounds that were very visible, and oftentimes those are the ones that are the easier to heal, because the body just does that. You heal faster when you're happy, but it's the mental wounds and the emotional wounds that we suffer that tend to be the toughest, and chaplains are the best but least utilized resource in the military. People feel they only go to them when it's absolute breaking point, and I think it's important for people to reach out to them just to get to know them ahead of time. So even if it's a small situation, maybe you can take care of it before it gets way out of hand and reaches a crisis level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can help you prepare, and that's what I've found, is they can help you prepare for what's ahead. If you're a transitioning veteran coming up on your terminal date, for instance, going to your chaplain and sitting down and saying, all right, what are the things that I'm going to face? What are the resources available to help me through this process? And they have a vast amount of resources. And what we find, too, in talking with commanders, that type of thing, they are very, very supportive of the chaplains in their ranks, because they know the vital functions they can provide as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, John, we're closing up our interview here a little bit, but some parting thoughts maybe that you want to share today with veterans, and not only veterans, because we have a vast array of people that make use of our site, and it's students, it's individuals that are in the workplace right now, leaders, many types of backgrounds. What would some parting words that you might have for our audience today?
Well, it's a little bit similar to what we discussed earlier, but a lot of times the situations we find ourselves in, we will have had some influence on how we ended up in those positions or those situations or whatever, but there are oftentimes situations we just find ourselves in, and we may not always be able to control those, but the thing we can always control is our attitude and the energy that we bring to the table. And it's important that people remember we're always going to have setbacks. Every person has setbacks, some more than others. But it's important not to look out and blame others and point to how you've been wronged, because that's irrelevant. It's what you got to do is you got to look yourself in the mirror and look at yourself and figure out how you're going to make yourself better, how you're going to have a positive attitude and overcome this situation. Because if you do that, there's nothing that you can't do and you can't achieve. And you're going to have that infectious personality that's going to help you succeed and help you find a good job. And overall, the most important thing is be a happy person. Be a happy person in life. Because, like I said, you only get one shot at life. You only get one shot at life, and you have to make it the best. We all want to be successful, and success can be measured in, some people measure it in paycheck or salary, whatever. I measure it in happiness, and I feel very happy and blessed. It's strange to think that I'm happier now than I've ever been in my entire life, and that's after having lost two of my best friends in that blast, another friend a month later in a separate attack, and I lost both of my legs. But I've learned the hard way what's important in life, how short life is, how important family is, and it's changed me. It's woken me up. And so if people listening just have a positive attitude and really just work on making yourself a better person in your life, the best it could be, you'll do well in life. Things will be good.
Very good. Well, John, I really, really appreciate you coming in and visiting with us today. Our guest today has been John Creasel. and he's the author of Still Standing, The Story of Sergeant John Creasel. And it is available on the Directional Motivation website as well as Amazon.com. And we appreciate you again for coming in, John.
Thank you.